They say time heals all wounds. But some scars aren't visible until you see them staring back at you, with your own eyes. It was just a Facebook post, a random scroll, a face I hadn't seen in over a decade. Her husband, their three kids, but that girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, the exact tilt of my mother's smile, and the age, 10, the same age she would have been if she'd never been aborted. I thought she was gone. I thought we ended it. But what if I was wrong? What if my child was never erased, just hidden? This is the story of the child I was never meant to know, and the lie that stole 10 years of my life. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Ghosts of Miami. I used to tell people I left Miami because of a job. Better market, cleaner break, new start. But the truth? I left because every block, every bench, every backlit silhouette reminded me of her. Alina. I met her at a rooftop bar in Wynwood. You know the kind, fake vintage chairs, overpriced mezcal, slow jazz to make rich people feel cultured. I was 27, reckless, cocky, freshly out of another dead-end relationship and chasing the idea of reinvention. She was older, early 30s maybe, the kind of woman who didn't just enter a room, she altered its chemistry. We locked eyes over a spilled drink. Literally. She bumped my elbow, laughed like she'd done it on purpose, and suddenly my tequila was all over my jeans and her perfume was all over my brain. Alina had this gravity. Not loud, not flashy, just undeniable. Dark hair that always seemed damp from the ocean, eyes that looked like they'd seen war but weren't ready to talk about it, and lips that made silence feel expensive. She never told me what she did for work. I never pressed. All I knew was that she spent her afternoons painting and her nights running from people who never really saw her. And I thought I was deep. We got close fast. Too fast. Dinner turned into weekends. Her art studio became my second home. I'd bring her breakfast, mangoes, Cuban pastries, that pretentious cold brew she hated but drank for the aesthetic. I should have known something was off. She never invited me to her apartment. Always mine or the studio. Her phone was always on Do Not Disturb. When I asked, she'd laugh and say, "Distractions are how people lose themselves. I'm trying to stay found." I ate it up. God, I wanted to believe I was the one grounding her. 3 months in, she whispered it. In the dim candlelight of a stormy Thursday night, she told me, "I'm late." I didn't panic. I didn't flinch. I kissed her. "Okay," I said. "Let's do this." Her eyes flooded with relief, or maybe fear. I couldn't tell back then. We spent those first few weeks making plans. She said she always wanted a girl. We picked names. Talked about moving somewhere quieter, maybe North Carolina, maybe Costa Rica. I was all in. Every part of me was ready to burn the old life for this new fire. Then came the drop. One morning, I brought her prenatal vitamins and found her curled up on the paint-splattered couch, sobbing into a pillow. She looked up at me with the hollow stare of someone who'd just buried something they never held. "I need to tell you something." Pause. "I'm married." Silence. "It's been over for a long time, I swear. He works in finance, never home. But if he finds out, if he thinks it's not his." I didn't move. My heart did. It started racing, like it knew something my brain didn't yet. "So," I said, already knowing. She swallowed hard. "I had to. I got rid of it." Three sentences that detonated everything. I don't remember the words I said. Maybe I didn't say anything. Maybe I just stared at the ghost of the future we'd created in my head and watched her erase it with a single sob. I left. Not just the studio. Not just Miami. I left that version of me. The one that believed in anything pure, anything promised, anything not rigged. I never heard from her again. Blocked her. Deleted the photos. Erased the name from my phone. But not from my memory. And now, 12 years later, all it took was one Facebook photo to unearth the grave I buried my entire past in. The photo. It started like every mindless scroll does boredom. Midnight. Kids asleep. Wife passed out next to me with her hand still gripping her phone like a loaded weapon. I was supposed to be winding down, zoning out, digesting the nothingness. But then, the algorithm decided to dig up a corpse I didn't ask for. There it was, a photo buried inside a tagged post. A friend of a friend. A birthday party at a park in Tampa. I almost swiped past it, until my eyes caught her. Alina. Older. Softer. still hauntingly elegant, like life had tried to knock her around, but couldn't quite bruise the blueprint. She stood beside a man, short, stocky, brown-skinned, very obviously Hispanic, and three children. Three. And that's when the bottom dropped out of my chest. The youngest boy looked like his dad. The middle girl, same. Tan skin. Dark hair. Genetic math that added up clean. But the oldest? Blonde hair. Icy blue eyes. Pale skin that glowed like it didn't belong under that Florida sun. She looked, like me. Like a Polaroid of my own childhood had been cut out and pasted into this stranger's family album. I zoomed in, my thumb trembling like I'd just seen a ghost. Same dimpled cheek. Same crooked left incisor. Same eyes as my mother. She was about 10. I did the math. Again. 10. She would have been 10. My stomach clenched like it was trying to force out the truth. But the mind races faster than logic can catch up. What if she lied? What if there was never an abortion? What if she had my child, and just let me walk away thinking it never existed? Suddenly, I wasn't in bed anymore. I was standing, phone in one hand, breath frozen in the other. My wife mumbled something in her sleep, and I flinched like a criminal caught mid-break-in. I slipped out of the room, closed the door behind me, and sat in the dark living room with just the glow of my phone and the hum of questions I never got to ask. I stared at that photo until my battery died. Then I stared at the black screen, still seeing her face burned into my retinas. My daughter. No, her daughter. Maybe ours. I didn't sleep that night. I went down a rabbit hole. Searched every tag. Every caption. I found more pictures. School events. Halloween. Swim meets. She wasn't just a photo. She was real. A life in motion. A timeline I'd been erased from. And the worst part, she looked happy. That morning, I told my wife I didn't feel well and stayed home from work. I couldn't function. I couldn't eat. All I could think was, I lost 10 years. And I never even knew what I lost. By noon, I was Googling family law forms, paternity tests, statute of limitations. My browser history read like a man chasing a ghost through legal code. But then the panic turned to anger. How dare she? How do you tell someone you ended a life when you didn't? How do you carry a lie that big for a decade and sleep through the night? I was spiraling, and I knew it. But this wasn't about me anymore. This was about that little girl, that bright-eyed mystery in the Facebook album, who might share my blood, my DNA, my sense of humor, my laugh, my nightmares. I wanted to scream. I wanted to drive to Florida. I wanted to burn that entire false history to the ground. Instead, I stared out the window for hours, whispering to myself like a madman. Is she mine? What if she's mine? What do I even do if she is? And the cruelest part? I had no way to reach Alina. No number. No email. Nothing but the digital breadcrumb trail of a decade-old mistake that suddenly looked like a daughter. The photo changed everything. It rewrote history. And now I had a truth I couldn't unknow, and a question I might never get answered. Mind racing. They say the mind protects itself from what it can't handle. But mine. Mine dragged me into every possible version of the truth, and played them on loop like a psychological thriller I couldn't escape. I saw her, this little girl who might be mine, in every reflection. Every school photo in my own house started to look like a lie. My son's artwork on the fridge became background noise. My daughter's laugh, which usually melted me, now echoed behind the memory of a laugh I'd never heard. I wasn't there for her first steps. I didn't hold her when she cried. I didn't teach her how to ride a bike or kiss her forehead when she got the flu. That was someone else's life. And the sick part? It wasn't just stolen. It was taken from me on purpose. My heart couldn't keep up with my brain. And my brain couldn't outrun the questions. Why lie? Why say you had an abortion? Why cut me out of a life I helped create? Unless that was the plan all along. Unless she manipulated me into disappearing, into being the problem she could erase. Was I ever meant to be in that child's life? Or was I just a detour on her road back to a marriage she was never ready to leave? I tried to make peace with the possibility that I would never know. But the mind doesn't do peace. It does war. I started pulling at threads, whatever little ones I had. I remembered her last name. It took a few tries, a few late-night searches, and one very sketchy people finder service, but I tracked down a probable address in Tampa. A mortgage under her husband's name. A public record of her business, a private art gallery in Ybor City. It was like watching a map of a forgotten past come back into focus. And then, I hired someone. I know how that sounds. Creepy. Extreme. Maybe even obsessive. But I needed clarity. Closure. Something. The private investigator I found online specialized in family recon. Discreet. Professional. Unemotional, which was exactly what I wasn't. He agreed to look into the girl's birth records, school history, anything publicly accessible. No contact. No photos. Just facts. While I waited, I slipped further down the spiral. I started imagining what she called him, her legal dad. Poppy. Daddy. Did she hug him like I hug my kids? Did he tell her bedtime stories, not knowing she might carry another man's blood? And if she ever wondered, why didn't she look like him? What did they tell her? Or worse, did they lie to her too? That's when the rage came. This wasn't just about a child. This was about identity theft, the kind that steals your name from someone else's mouth. The kind that manipulates timelines and truths to suit a single narrative. You never existed. And that's what I felt, like a ghost haunting the edges of a story I helped write but never got to read. My wife started noticing. I'd flinch at questions, avoid eye contact during dinner, snap at small things. My kids looked at me like I was turning into someone they didn't recognize. She finally asked, "Is there someone else?" And all I could say was, "Maybe." But not like she thought. Not a woman. A child. A child I was never meant to know. 2 days later, the PI sent me a file. Sparse. But explosive. There was no hospital record tied to that girl's name. No listed father on her birth certificate. A licensed midwife signed off on a home birth in Miami. Born exactly 10 years ago. The mother listed? Alina. No mention of the husband. No adoption record. No paternity declaration. Legally, the father line was blank. And suddenly, so was my world. Because if I wasn't just imagining this, if I wasn't spiraling without reason, then the only thing more dangerous than the lie was the truth. The lie that raised her. It's a strange thing, realizing your entire understanding of the past has been built on someone else's script. And now I had proof. Or at least, the absence of it. No hospital birth. No father listed. A child born in silence, deliberately undocumented, quietly introduced into a world where truth had been carefully edited. She hadn't erased me by accident. She'd engineered it. That's when my grief mutated into something sharper. Something colder. Not just rage, but strategy. I stopped asking why she did it, and started asking how she got away with it. And the more I thought about it, the clearer it became. Alina didn't just lie. She constructed a reality, one in which I never existed. A clean slate. A controllable story. She wasn't just preserving her marriage. She was manipulating an entire identity. The child, this girl who might carry my eyes, my stubbornness, my weird obsession with old-school PlayStation games and astronomy, had been raised inside a fiction. And the lie had a face. A name. A father. Her husband. I imagined him, tucked in comfortably under a blanket of half-truths. Maybe he believed the baby was premature. Or maybe she told him they'd had a drunken night of reconnection he forgot. Or maybe he knew the whole time and agreed to raise her anyway. But the more likely scenario, he didn't know. Because if he did, he'd be on the birth certificate. And he wasn't. That blank line, that empty space, that was me. Unwritten. Undeclared. Deleted. I thought about legal action. Paternity filing. Custody motions. DNA testing. But every click, every article, every consultation led me back to the same wall. She's married. The child was born into that marriage. Which means by law, he's the presumed father. The courts, they don't care who shares DNA. They care who's been present, who's raised the child, who the child calls dad. And me? I was a name spoken once and buried under silence. Even if I could prove it, they might still tell me to walk away, for her sake. The more I learned, the more powerless I felt. I was chasing justice in a world designed to preserve illusion. Family courts protect stability, not biological redemption. They'd see me as a disruptor, not a father. And maybe they'd be right. Because what would I even say to her? "Hi, I'm your real dad. You don't know me, but I've known about you for 3 weeks and I've lost my damn mind ever since." No. No, I couldn't do that. Not to her. Not to the girl. Not to the version of her that had grown up believing the man at the breakfast table was her father. So then what? Just let it go. Forget? Pretend I never saw the photo? Pretend I never felt that earthquake in my chest when I recognized my own face on hers? No, I couldn't forget, but I also couldn't burn her world down just to put mine back together. Still, I needed something, some answer, some closure. So I made a decision. I would find Alina, not to confront, not to accuse, but to ask, face to face, woman to man, ghost to ghost. And I'd look her in the eyes, those same eyes that once promised me everything, and ask, why? Why lie? Why bury me? Why raise a daughter to believe I never existed? Because I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a father, but I damn well deserved to be a fact. The confrontation. It was a Tuesday. Gray sky. Drizzling. The kind of weather that feels more like a warning than a coincidence. I sat outside the gallery in Ybor City for almost 2 hours. Just watched. Observed. Cars pulling in. Patrons walking out. Nobody looking for me. Nobody knowing what I carried under my skin. Inside that building was the woman who rewrote my life with a single sentence. I already took care of it. It wasn't rage driving me anymore. It was something quieter, heavier, a kind of grief that doesn't scream. It just sits in your lungs until you forget what breathing used to feel like. I walked in at 4:58 p.m. Closing time was 5. The lights were still on. A few canvases hung crooked on the brick walls, overpriced and emotionally vacant. Abstract swirls, deconstructed faces. The kind of art that makes you wonder if the artist ever told the truth with their hands. And then she appeared. Alina. Same posture. Same grace. A little older. More grounded. Her hair was shorter now, styled with the kind of precision that says, I am in control. She froze when she saw me. I didn't say anything at first. Just looked at her. Let the silence thicken. Let her remember. Let her feel it. Her voice was barely above a whisper. What are you doing here? I answered calmly. I saw a photo. That's it. No preamble. No threats. Just 3 words that dropped like glass. She stepped back. Braced herself. Like she'd always known this day could come, but prayed it wouldn't. I told you. I had an abortion. I nodded. Slowly. Measured. Yeah. I believed you. For 10 years. A long pause. Her eyes flickered. Guilt. No. It was more like calculation. Like she was already scanning the scene for exit wounds. Why now? She asked. Because she looks like me. She exhaled, turned away, walked behind a counter, as if a few feet of wood could protect her from what we both knew was coming. It wasn't supposed to happen like this, she said. You weren't supposed to see her. So she is mine. Silence. I stepped forward. Not aggressive. Just present. Tell me the truth. After all this time. I deserve that. She looked at me, finally, and something in her broke. Not all at once. Just enough to fracture. Yes. The word was soft. Surrendered. She's yours. I didn't feel relief. I felt hollow. 10 years. Stolen. Erased. Why? I asked. Her eyes welled. But I didn't trust those tears. Because I was scared. Because he would have left me. Because I didn't know how to raise a child alone, and you were too young, too lost, too intense. I couldn't risk it. So I told you what would end it. Cleanly. You told me she died. No, she snapped. I told you I ended the pregnancy. Same thing. We stood there in the middle of her carefully curated gallery, surrounded by lies on canvas. Two ghosts having a conversation 10 years too late. Does she know? I asked. She shook her head, instantly. No. She thinks he's her father. And he loves her like his own. I won't destroy that. I won't let you destroy that. I'm not here to destroy anything, I said. I just wanted to know. I needed to know I wasn't crazy. She moved closer. Softer now. You're not crazy. But you don't get to walk in now and blow her world up. She doesn't know you. You're a stranger with a past. And I'm sorry, but I'm not letting you in. I nodded. Not because I agreed, but because I understood. So that's it. That has to be it. I laughed. Quiet. Bitter. She looked startled. What's funny? You once told me I was the only person who ever saw you, I said. But the one thing you made sure of was that I'd never be seen. And with that, I walked out. Not angry. Not victorious. Just finished. For now. Letting go or not. I didn't drive home right away. I sat in the car for over an hour, parked a block from the gallery, staring at my own hands like they belonged to someone else. The same hands that would have held her the day she was born. That could have taught her to ride a bike, tie her shoes, draw stars in the margins of her school books. I imagined her calling someone else daddy, and I imagined myself not correcting her. Because truth, real truth, the kind that cuts through bone, doesn't always set you free. Sometimes, it just shows you how deep the cage goes. I went home that night and told my wife everything. I expected rage. I expected tears. I expected the kind of unraveling that ends marriages. But instead, she listened. Fully. Silently. Then reached for my hand like she was grounding me to the earth. "Do you want to fight for her?" she asked. And I didn't know how to answer. Because part of me wanted to shout yes, to scream it so loud the whole city echoed with it. But the other part, the older, quieter part, that part knew the damage was already done. The lie had grown roots. 10 years deep. Pulling her into my world now wouldn't be a rescue. It'd be a war. And she didn't ask for any of this. She was just a kid, born into someone else's deception, raised in a reality that loved her, even if it was built on broken truths. So I did the only thing I could do. I wrote her a letter. Not to send. Not yet. I printed it on thick paper. Folded it carefully. Slid it into a sealed envelope and gave it to my lawyer. Instructions. If she ever shows up, give her this. If she ever questions the silence, let her hear my truth. The letter says everything I'll never get to say out loud. I don't want to take you away from the life you've known. I don't want to upend your family or rewrite your story. I just want you to know. I existed. I was there. I loved you before I even saw your face. I never left you. I was just never allowed in. And if there ever comes a day when you want to know me, even just a little, I'll be here. And then I signed it. Your father. I don't know if she'll ever read it. I don't know if she'll grow up feeling something she can't explain. A quiet ache, a hidden question, a subtle shift in the way her reflection stares back. But I do know this. I exist. I am not erased. And no matter how cleanly someone tries to cut you out of a life, your truth has a way of leaving fingerprints, even if no one sees them but you.